ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 60, Text 41. Translation and commentary by followers of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yad Vanchaya Nripa Shikha Manayaha Anga Vainya Jayanta Nahusha Gaya Adayaha Aikya Patyam Rajam Visrijya Vivishuhu Vanam Ambuja Aksha Siddhanti Te Anupadavim Te Iha Astitaha Kim Yadvan Chayan Repashika Marnayonga Vainya Jayanta Nahusha Gaya Daya Aikya Patyam Rajang Visrijya Vivishurvanam Ambujaksha Siddhanti Tenu Padavim Taihastita Kim Yadvan Chayan Ripashika Marnayonga Vainya Jayanta Nahusha Gaya Daya Aikya Patyam Rajang Visrijya Vivishurvanam Ambujaksha Siddhanti Tenu Padavim Taihastita Kim
Yeah. Rajam Vishnu Vishnu
Ladies, yet for whom? Vanchaya, out of desire. Nrepa, of kings. Shikha, Maniyaha, the crown jewels. Anga, Vainya, Jayanta, Nahusha, Gaya, Adayaha. Anga, the father of Vena. Vainya, Prithu, the son of Vena. Jayanta, Bharat, Nahusha, Yayati, Gaya and others. Aikya, exclusive. Patyam, having sovereignty. Rajam, their kingdoms. Visrijya, abandoning. Vivishuhu, entered. Vanam, the forest. Ambuja, Aksha, O lotus-eyed one. Sidanti, suffer frustration. Te, your Anupadavim, on the path. Te, they, Iha, in this world. Astitaha, fixed, kim, weather. Wanting your association, the best of kings, Anga, Vainya, Jayanta, Nahush, Gaya and others, abandoned their absolute sovereignty and entered the forest to seek you out. How could those kings suffer frustration in this world, O lotus-eyed one? Purport. Here, Queen Rukmini refutes the ideas put forth by Lord Krishna in text 13. In fact, Srimati Rukmini Devi repeats Lord Krishna's own words. The Lord said, Astita padavim subru praya siddhanti yoshitaha. Women who follow my path generally suffer. Here, Rukmini Devi says, Siddhanti te nu padavim ta astita kim. Why should those fixed on your path suffer in this world? She gives the example of many great kings who renounced their powerful sovereignty to enter the forest, where they performed austerities and worshipped the Lord, intensely desiring his transcendental association. Thus, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Srimati Rukmini Devi here intends to tell Sri Krishna, you have said that I, a king's daughter, am unintelligent and frustrated because I married you. But how can you accuse all these great enlightened kings of being unintelligent? They were the wisest of men, yet they gave up everything to follow you and were certainly not frustrated by the result. Indeed, they achieved the perfection of your association. Om Gyanatimirandhasya. Gyananjana Shalakaya. Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Nama Shreshtam Anumapi Shachiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Gajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prabhto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Atav Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagarna Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamstra Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tine Smarane Hoi Bigna Vinashan Anaya Shehoi Nijavan Chita Puran Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very sweet part of Bhagavatam. All of the Bhagavatam is sweet, but even from our neophyte position, we can appreciate that the friendly argument between Krishna and Rukmini, or Krishna teasing Rukmini and Rukmini responding, is probably more relishable than lists of names of kings. Although if we are fully spiritually absorbed, then we'll find the list of the names of kings also transcendentally relishable. The very fact that Shukumakad Amrita Drava Sangyutam, the very fact that it's spoken by Shukadev, makes it sweet. And if we don't perceive it as sweet, that is our own jaundiced tasting. This is controversial because we're exposed to accept Shastra as it is, what Krishna says. But here, Rukmini, the topmost devotee, of course it's also controversial to say that, also especially in Vrindavan, is refuting what Krishna says. The very fact that we're reading this in Vrindavan may be subject to disapproval from some who exclusively want to concentrate on Vrindavan pastimes. Although we have our Gaudiya Acharya commenting on this section. The very Gaudiya Acharya, Srila Visvarupa Thakur, who advised those on the path of Aikantiki Bhakti, one-pointed devotion to Radha and Krishna, not to go to Dwaraka. But he's also commenting on this section of Bhagavatam. This refutation of what Rukmini says has the implication that not everything Krishna says is to be taken as it is. Srila Prabhupada emphasized that we should understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's spoken by Krishna. Therefore, we should accept it because Krishna is authoritative. But there within his own commentary on Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna twice says that the learned people should not disturb the minds of those who are attached to fruitive activities, Srila Prabhupada twice says, actually you should. And the devotees, he says, the devotees, they know better the purpose of the Lord. We have in Bhagavatam itself Krishna speaking atheistic philosophy, which we shouldn't accept. What's that? Krishna speaking atheistic philosophy? In Govardhan Leela, he's trying to convince Nanda Maharaj, which also trying to convince Nanda Maharaj not to worship Indra by speaking the karma mimamsaka philosophy, which also gives an insight that the means can justify the end. We have the whole avatar of Buddhadev speaking atheism, outright atheism. He has his purpose also. And later on Shankara came, Shankaracharya, and he also spoke atheistic philosophy. Covered Buddhism, Prachandam Bodham. Yet there are teachings of Shankara which we accept within our Vaishnava Sampradaya. It's completely in line with Krishna's teachings. For instance, Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani Jatare Shainam. In fact, that whole prayer, Bhaja Govindam, yeah, that whole prayer, it's all very acceptable to Vaishnavas. So how do we understand what Krishna is saying, and how do we know what should be accepted, what should not be accepted? And in the 11th canto, Krishna speaks so many philosophies, and then he says, well, in some sense, they can all be accepted. And then again he says, actually, none of them. How are we to find out what is the actual message? Therefore, we have to come to the point of Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta. We have to find out who is that great personality who will guide us through all of this. Shabda Jala Maharanyam Kevala Chitta Brahmanam, said Shankaracharya. That the words of the Vedas, which are meant to guide us from tamas hima jyotir gamaya, from darkness to light, Shankara says they're like a great forest, which simply makes our mind more bewildered. Krishna says similarly in Bhagavad Gita, twice. He also refers to the Vedas as the whole material world, in which the hymns of the Vedas are like the leaves. And Krishna, yeah, again Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, the Vedas mostly concerned with the three modes of material nature. And then we find Acharya Madhva, well, actually Krishna himself. Vedaishta Sarvera Hameva Vedaha, by all the Vedas am I to be known. So we could conclude that it's all contradictory and therefore it's illogical, doesn't make sense, so it's all nonsense. We could conclude like that. But then we won't get the result of studying the Vedas, which is to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. Or there are various results which one can take out of the Vedic teachings. One may be attracted to various material benefits, or someone may want to be freed from the bondage of this material world, or someone may ultimately attain to Krishna. We have to go through the Vedic path, but it can be very difficult to negotiate it, because different great personalities, Mahajano Yena Gata, we're supposed to follow in the path of great personalities, That's the key to have knowledge. Amanitvam adambitvam. Without wanting to be honored and without pride, we can begin to attain knowledge. These are prerequisites for attaining knowledge. Without that, if we try to simply study by ourselves, we'll be confused. Even in the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, there may be things which confuse us. Even in the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, different devotees may have different understandings of what he said or he meant. Shruti Kirti Prabhu, stop looking at your cell phone. We can have some jokes, like Krishna and Rukmini having jokes. Don't interpret that in Leela, I'm a husband and he's a wife, or something like that. In Vrindavan especially, people tend to put their interpretations. But he was hesitating to put in his memoir that Srila Prabhupada told Shruti Kirti Prabhu that Srila Prabhupada's father used to give ganja to sadhus. He was hesitating to put that because he thought that, well, some devotees might think, well, that proves it. Ganja's authorized. There may be things about Srila Prabhupada that we can't, there are many things we may not understand. There are other things also. I'm not going to say them now. If I speak privately to Shruti Kirti, I might. And he probably knows more things than I do, definitely. All these kind of things. But it's very dangerous to see the Acharya as an ordinary person, even though in many ways he moves and acts and talks like an ordinary person. Arjuna asked about the Sthitapragyasya ka bhasha. What does he speak? Samadhi sthita keshava sthitati king prabhasheta kimasita vrajeta kim. What kind of person is this self-realized person? Does he fly in the sky? Or when he talks, do the apsaras fan him with chariot? Who knows what Arjuna was thinking? And Krishna almost indirectly answered the question. It's not, don't see the prajahati yada kamans. You have to see, his self-realization is internal. You may not notice it externally, but from his speech especially, we can understand. But then again, it can become difficult because Srila Prabhupada said different things to different people under different circumstances. And there were different phases of his activities, how he was liberal in giving initiation in San Francisco in 1967 had changed by 1977. So what is the standard? Should it be 67 or 77, or let's go halfway, about 72? Or did Srila Prabhupada want to make it more strict? And we can take different teachings of Srila Prabhupada and make up or try to understand different theories. The easy thing is just to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Right? That makes it a lot easier. Sometimes if you become very philosophical, you can almost go crazy. And I've seen it in at least one of our God brothers. He was always thinking very philosophical. And he was also, eccentric, we could say. Because the philosophy, what's called philosophy in the Western world, means mental speculation. And if we try to understand simply starting from here I am, and there is the world, and what's going on, we might get as far as thinking, I think, therefore I exist. And probably everything else exists also. But there are problems in that. If you want to take it, the inductive method, going up, starting from our own intelligence, there are always going to be problems. Descartes thought he had made a perfect system of understanding, beginning with thinking, cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I exist. But there are problems with that also. There are always, whatever one philosopher says, someone will come along and say something else. And everything can be interpreted in innumerable ways. Na savrishe yasya matang na bhinnam. And so we're all getting more and more bewildered by this talk. We're supposed to come to Bhagavatam class and become more convinced about the path of Krishna consciousness. We just have to follow Srila Prabhupada. Some may say, yeah, well, I'm giving ganja to sadhus. Prabhupada must be pleased by that, right? Because his father did that. Is it? Maybe. I don't think so, but someone may have a philosophy like that. I remember many years ago, in the 1980s, one of my godbrothers used to get up about 8 o'clock every morning. And I asked him, well, what are you doing getting up at 8 o'clock every morning? He said, well, Prabhupada said his father used to get up late every morning. That was the justification. And now in another place, I asked Siddhavati, come on, you've got to go to Mangalarti. He said, well, my guru doesn't go to Mangalarti. For that matter, you could say Srila Prabhupada doesn't go to Mangalarti. So what should be the standard? How are we going to? Now I've dug a hole of confusion. How to get out of this? Again, the basic instructions are very simple. And if we follow, we'll get the result. But questions may arise. We've seen that there are many devotees, or at least some devotees, who have been following Krishna consciousness under the direction of Srila Prabhupada and his followers. And they read the books, they distribute the books, and after some time they think, well, maybe this isn't the right path after all. I have to take a taxi to Radhakund, one way. Yadgatvana nivartante. I have to go and stay there I'll rent an air-conditioned apartment in Radhakund and do bhajan there, because that's where it's really at. We may think like that. Fortunately, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and his followers, I feel myself very, very fortunate that I don't think like that. In fact, one of my disciples recently wrote to me that he was thinking like that, and he thought it so much that he actually went to live in Radhakund. And there, surprise, surprise, he started to think of sex life. And he realized, I'm not fit for this. And he left Radhakund and went back to Moscow. Where else? It has to be Russian, right? And now he's trying to rewire his intelligence to understand that we should follow the basic path given by Srila Prabhupada. He warned, don't jump. We have the whole Prakriti Ras Shatadushani by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, warning, follow the gradual path, step by step. Don't try to go too quickly. On the one hand, it's said that you can be Krishna conscious in a second. On the other hand, we do have the teachings of Rupa Goswami to go gradually, So it is possible to be Krishna conscious in a second, but for most, gradual advancement is required. Ado Shraddha. I hear many devotees honestly saying that, well, I'm finding it hard to get past the Anartha Nivritti stage. But even that, you get back to Shraddha, even that, how strong is our faith? Therefore, we should hear daily from Bhagavatam, immerse ourselves in these topics. Actually, these topics here in this part of the 10th canto, this is on the platform of rasa. So it's presumed that one has already internalized the understanding of Krishna being the supreme enjoyer and the queens being his supreme devotees, but still we'll find here that Rukmini is speaking good sense to Krishna because Krishna was speaking nonsense. That's recorded. He was willingly speaking nonsense. And as Srila Prabhupada states in the Krishna book, his rendering of this, Krishna wanted to enjoy some joking as household, well, Krishna says it himself right in the text that householders, husband and wife, sometimes they like to enjoy some joking among themselves, so they may speak some nonsensical things to others. And actually what Krishna said to Rukmini was highly outrageous, that actually, you made a mistake by marrying me, but never mind, you can go and marry one of those kids. It was just outrageous, absurd, unthinkable. And Rukmini, being Rukmini, the good quality of Rukmini is that she took it seriously. And Krishna wouldn't dare to say such a thing to Satyabhama. So that's on the platform of rasa to understand all these things. But in Rukmini's reply, we have very good sense spoken by Rukmini. But it's possible to interpret it and understand it in different ways. We find in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Padma, the mother of Kamsa, was always misunderstanding things. She thought that the Brajbasis had very badly treated Krishna. They made him do work for them, child labor, and they had to take the cows out in the hot sun every day, and they didn't even give him shoes to put on his feet. And all they gave him was a little milk. They grossly mistreated him. That's one way of interpreting it. How are we to understand all these things? And the difficulty comes in our ISKCON today, in as much as there are various issues and various gurus, those who have accepted the position of formerly accepted this position of spiritual leaders, they have different understandings of what Srila Prabhupada meant or intended. And these aren't simply armchair philosophy subjects, but they have practical implications, very significant practical implications. So how are we to understand, and how are followers to follow? The simple thing is, well, I'll just follow my guru. But then we should understand why also. And it may be there are cases where the disciple thinks that, well, seems to me that my Guru who's guided me so much, on this point, I can't accept. That happens and it becomes very difficult for the disciple. Recently someone told me that, well, I like everything about you, but there's one teaching I don't like, so is that okay? He wanted to take initiation. I know, don't take initiation. If you can't accept what I say, then how are you going to take initiation from me? You have to be able to accept it. And then again, you have to accept it with your intelligence. And then again, don't overestimate our intelligence. That's why we accept a guru. If we didn't need our intelligence to be guided, then we wouldn't need a guru. So where do we go with all of this? Then again, we'll say, well, let the GBC decide. And again, this comes to controversy because there are those devotees who, in all good faith and with what appears to be good reason, say that, well, historically we can see that GBC decisions have been very, very wrong and have had very bad consequences. I'm not saying this as a GBC bashing thing. I know you're not supposed to do this kind of thing, but I'm just in classes. Just discussing the point of where and how do we know what to do and what is the right path to follow. I made a suggestion a few years ago on one burning issue that the leaders of this movement who are divided on a certain issue should come to Mayapur, daily do kirtan in Srila Prabhupada's samadhi together, pray to Srila Prabhupada, and discuss the issue. That seems to me to be the way to go. What should the direction be? Just after the passing of the Buddha, there was a council, first Buddhist council, where they all came together and said, well, okay, now what do we do? What actually is the teaching of the Buddha that we have to pass on? Because he didn't write anything. And there are no scriptures because he didn't believe in Vedas or Puran. Well, Vedas especially. So they had a meeting, and time to time they have various meetings. And the whole of Christianity was solidified and defined several hundred years after the passing of Jesus. And those who didn't agree with the definitive path were thrown out. And it became heresy to not accept the proper line. And then later there were the Protestants split because, and so on and so on. But the point that devotees or the followers of these different religious paths, the leaders came together and they spoke, they discussed as long as they needed to. In the 1960s, there was the Second Vatican Council. It went on for several years in which the leaders, the bishops, they were all discussing various points about how Catholicism should adopt or not adopt to the modern world, and they took a major turn, which is often seen now as a major wrong turn, and that they decided let's get in line with the modern world. And they stopped having Latin Mass, and then they admitted this psychology and science, and they then I remember the nuns started wearing short skirts, and then they all blooped because they admitted psychology, and psychology means you should look in your mind through the atheistic focus of various demons, beginning with Freud, and the Catholic Church has never been the same again. But the point is that they all came together, discussed, respectfully, and they delineated the proper line, or what we can call the orthodox line, on various issues. Just 2 days ago, I was asked after a morning Bhagavatam class, how can we avoid deviations? And I hadn't talked about deviations in the class. And I gave a generic answer that Srila Prabhupada, he always said for spiritual strength, we have to follow the program. Everyone has to follow, rising early, chanting 16 rounds, Sankirtan, studying the books, all these things. So that's the basic answer. But before we can even say what is a deviation, we have to say what the proper line is. That has to be defined. Thomas Hopkins, who's not an authority spiritually, but he was the first scholar in the West to take notice of Srila Prabhupada and his movement, practically before he even had a movement. And he was also very favorable to the devotees. He, shortly before his passing away, said that ISKCON, you have to get your theology together. Who is Srila Prabhupada? What does it mean to relate to Srila Prabhupada? Now, there have been papers written on this and good discussions on this, but it's not a question that can be summed up for everyone in the same way, at least that's what I feel. That here we all are followers of Srila Prabhupada, but there are differences also between followers of different gurus, depending on how much the disciples take seriously their gurus, which we are supposed to take seriously. If we have a guru, it's not just supposed to be a picture on a wall who you might offer bhog to if you feel a little devotional. There are going to be different flavors. It's not going to all be the same. Just as there are branches of the Chaitanya tree, there are going to be branches and sub-branches. How to keep all that together within the umbrella of one institution? These are big questions. I'm not giving the answers. I'm just suggesting a way in which we could move toward answers. And if you feel more confused after this class than when you came into it, I'm sorry. But these are points which we should consider. The basic things are very simple. Chant 16 rounds, follow four regulative principles, study Srila Prabhupada's books, apply our intelligence to understand the books, but don't be over-intelligent, thinking that I know better. There may be even what appear to us to be some, dare I say it, mistakes, technical mistakes. How do you handle that? I would suggest you don't. Don't make a big thing out of it. How do you handle that? Was a question some devotees or Prabhupada didn't like their attitude, but they were putting, how do we understand that King Ugrasena had more personal bodyguards than many, many more times than the whole present population of the earth? How do you understand it? And Srila Prabhupada didn't want to answer them because their attitude was wrong. Many things are going to be inconceivable. That's how we start. God consciousness means accepting that there is God means accepting inconceivable. We're not going to understand everything by our brains. And if we attempt to do so, then we'll get in a big mess. Therefore, our intelligence needs to be guided by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Shastra is the center. Guru can only be a guru if he speaks according to Shastra. But then again, it can't be expected that every guru has studied all the Shastras in all their depth and width. Some basic faith has to be there. Basic faith that there is potency in Guru Parampara. If someone is sincerely following, then the potency comes down. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is the greatest scholar found in a particle of dust in the lotus feet of Srila Gaur Kisar Das Babaji Maharaj, who superficially was uneducated, he found in a particle of dust at his lotus feet all the conclusions of the Shastras and the Acharyas. How could he find that out? How could he find that out? He saw the pure devotion is there. He was able to take that blessing and energy of Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj and translate it into a spiritual revolution. And he transferred that potency to his followers, especially to our own Srila Prabhupada, who is the bearer of the truth, is manifest in his manifesting that truth in the life of little less than 5,000 disciples he initiated, and so many more and more and more and more, and it will go on. So we should know that there will always be things that we don't understand, and we don't have to understand every little thing about everything, because that's also not possible for us. But if we have faith in the Vaishnavas, that will help us. Without that, we cannot go forward. And we have to have faith in the Shastra and not have faith in our own intelligence. We shouldn't discard our intelligence, that also is not possible. But we should come off the mental platform of thinking, I can understand by my own intelligence. And understand that what is given by the Acharyas is perfect. We may not understand how it is perfect. Now, in meeting with mundane scholars, there can be difficulties with that, because they don't accept this. We can either acquiesce with them, or we can tell them that for all your big brain, you're just a big fool, because you don't accept the transcendental process. You're licking the pot of honey from the outside, that's all. I feel sorry for so many scholars. They study Shastra, and they study Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they're committed not to ever surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because they're scholars. And it would ruin their scholarship if they actually became Krishna conscious. They put their intellectual pursuit above tasting the nectar of Krishna consciousness. And actually the greatest scholars are Vaishnavas, those who accept the Vedic system and the ultimate conclusion. But it's a different kind of scholarship. It's a scholarship which starts with accepting, I don't know anything. And when you learn so much and you've written so many books and you're lauded as a great scholar, then you're more convinced, I don't know anything. Only my guru knows. And he knows because he is at the lotus feet of Krishna. Then you're the greatest scholar. Then you understand everything. Hare Krishna. Any question, comment, please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you.
That is the perfect answer to all questions.
Yes.
You got it.
I was reading yesterday, Srila Prabhupada was saying, to be guru, there's only one qualification. And just at the end here, of course, and all through it, you mentioned that. He only repeats what he heard from his spiritual master. If there's anything else, he's not guru. Guru means he repeats, he doesn't change, doesn't adulterate. And that's the one thing I saw Srila Prabhupada while I was with him, was the fear of that changing. And even to the point, if there were mistakes, let them be, as you also said in your lecture today, leave them alone, because once you open that door to change, there's no stopping it. So he was prepared to accept sometimes there were mistakes there,
yeah,
but he wasn't prepared to accept that you should do something about it because you don't have that intelligence.
At the same time, we are charged with spreading Krishna consciousness all over the movement. And we can't stick to static formulas. If we, for instance, if we keep the style of preaching and the vocabulary we used among hippies in the 60s and 70s, that wouldn't be a very intelligent way to preach Krishna consciousness in the world today. And fulfilling Srila Prabhupada's desire to establish Varnashram. We're talking about setting up a whole social system. It means a lot of things to do which aren't directly explicated by Srila Prabhupada. So we have to pray to keep on the right path while traversing the path through this world and expanding the path, to keep faithful without losing relevance. We can't freeze everything in time, but we have to stick to the previous acharyas. And that was, how do you differentiate between principle and a detail?
He said making an adjustment, the difference between changing a principle and making an adjustment.
Is it you who asked Srila Prabhupada that?
Yes.
Yeah.
He said it requires a little intelligence,
yeah,
to know the difference.
He didn't give a specific formula. It's not just like in logic, they want to make everything. This is true, this is possibly true. In logic, everything is clear cut. But in real life, some things transcend logic. Even in material dealings, like for instance, affection. Love. It's not logical. But what's life without it? Hare Krishna, there's a hand up. I'll take one more question then finish, because for whom are the bells ringing?
Maharaj, you spoke about the purpose. Understanding the purpose is very essential. That's why we need Acharya's commentary and Acharya's explanation, without which we cannot understand the Manobhishtam of Krishna. And especially when we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a Rasa Shastra, it's not mostly Tattva. So we have to understand the context.
What did you say? It's Rasa Shastra, it's not what?
It's not basically Tattva. It's
Wait a minute. Talking about logic, there are arguments are based on premises. So you're making the premise that Bhagavatam is not based on Tattva. It's absolutely based on Tattva.
Yeah, Tattva. But mostly it has to be relished than to be understood with our mundane and logic. It does not fit.
Well, It could be said that. When you've been through all the Tattva, then you could say that. But it begins with Janmadhyaya, so yeah, it begins with explication of Tattva in two verses. And then the third verse says about Rasa. So both things are there. But as we find here, even in the 10th canto, where there's an exchange of emotional affection between Krishna and Rukmini, it's not without proper philosophical understanding. The two things are never far away.
So your Rukmini Devi is saying that Krishna is saying, you made a mistake by following me. So Rukmini Devi is saying, oh, I made a mistake. So what are these kings are? They have left their kingdom to forests just to attain you, Krishna. So we can understand in that way. The context of the Leela or the pastime is there. And the Leela has to be relished than to be rationalized, as you have said, Maharaj. So thank you for the wonderful class.
First, you have to be on the platform of relish. Don't throw out your brain, if you have any. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyavacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.